Joining us on the line, Rabbi Daniel Abida. Very, very good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Howard. Good morning, Chaim. Hi. So, I'm fine, thank you.
Good. All right, so just getting straight to the subject matter, we spoke last week about some of the possible lessons or some of the possible gains around COVID-19. You and I were having a conversation yesterday ahead of this discussion, and you said something very, very interesting about the world that we live in being completely rocked. Tell me about, give me your thoughts on that.
Well, I'd like to invite you and the audience to share an idea that I've had on coronavirus. It's made a big impact on me. It's helped me view the world in a certain way. And it's helped me answer lots of questions about myself and how to maybe help me make decisions. And you're invited to join me as I explain it.
All right, go for it.
Okay. So I'd like to start off with an idea which I heard from Mark Twain, which resonated with me quite a lot, and I was trying to work out why it resonated with me. So Mark Twain apparently said that you regret the things that you don't do much more than the things that you do. In other words, Mark Twain's trying to say that if you're faced with a certain decision in life, something you can do, or you can go down a sort of stable path, the not rocking the boat path, then it's probably better to take the plunge, take the risk, and do that thing, because you're going to regret not doing it much more than you're going to regret doing it. And that resonated with me a lot. I've had those decisions, those crossroads at various junctures in my life, and I'm pretty much, I think it's very true to say that I'm very pleased that I took the plunge when I took the plunge, and I was trying to work out what the truth, why does Mark Twain's idea resonate so much with me? Mm-hmm. So I think it's like this. We're here to do things. We're motivated to do stuff. You know, we're very complex. We're very driven to do certain things. We often don't know what these things are. And I think it's true to say, I think it's fair to say that we often engineer events to create situations. These choices which confront us, which come our way, didn't just happen. They're not just out of the blue. For example, I was in a shop a few months ago. It was actually a shop before Purim. I was in a shop where you can buy your outfits and masks and all that kind of thing. And somebody overheard me talking with an English accent, which, you know, something I can't get away from. And I couldn't get away from this person either, but I wasn't trying to, because it was a great pleasure speaking to her. And it transpired that she's from England. And I said, how did you get to be here? How did you get to be in this mask shop in Johannesburg? So she said, well, she came for Yom Tov 10 years ago. She was a single girl at the time, and she came for a certain Yom Tov with a friend of hers, a female friend of hers, and guess what? She met someone when she was in Johannesburg and fell in love, got married, and here she is 10 years later. Doesn't quite know how it happened. So I suggested to her, actually, I think you do know how this happened. I think you must have known when you were coming here as a single girl that this was a possibility that could manifest itself, that you meeting someone here was something that could happen, and you were probably quite open to that, and you're actually very pleased with the way things worked out. And without going into the intricacies of every aspect of her marriage, whatever, she said, yeah, I suppose you're right, actually. In other words, of course, she had on some level engineered this event. It's possible if you go somewhere, you're going to meet a guy. So she had deliberately opened herself up to the possibility of coming here, meeting someone, getting married, living happily ever after, etc. And when I look at my life, certainly over the last few years, there's a big choice which confronted me about a year ago, or it was kind of started a year ago, which when I look back, it's quite clear that I'd engineered that, and it was coming from somewhere deep within me. So I've been living in Israel for 15 years, very happily, more or less. But I think I was looking to do something different at this stage. And I got the sense that I was potentially looking to do something else, because I was on this website. I was trying to work out if I was living in the right town. And like everything else these days, you can go on the web and ask the web any question. So I said, am I living in the wrong town? I wrote on Google. And there were obviously about 10 websites sprung up. And I picked one of them. And it said, signs that you're living in the wrong town. Sign number one was that you're looking at a website like this. So yeah, that's pretty telling.
Absolutely.
So, something told me I was looking to be somewhere else for a bit, just to do something. I didn't quite know what. So the last few years, I've kind of been going on these holidays all over the world with my family. I like traveling anyway. But every time I've been there, I've tried to go to the local shul, speak there, show them who I am, you know, try and let this offer, hey, would you consider being a rabbi here for a bit? I've kind of paved the way for that to happen in a way when I look back. And that's obviously coming from a place deep inside me which wanted that to happen. So I understand Mark Twain very well. These things, these options which come your way, they're there because you, because something deep inside you wants them to happen. You're basically saying to the world, please let me manipulate events, let events happen in such a way that, you know, what I'm really looking for happens. You know, the guy who goes from South Africa to a wedding in Israel and starts speaking to a lawyer there and says, oh, I'm a lawyer, and the guy offers him a job and says, hey, if ever you move to Israel, you're welcome to work with me. That's because the guy wanted that to happen. You know, so Mark Twain resonates so much because these things which come away, these offers, these opportunities which come away are because they are a function of what we've been trying to do all along. So of course you're going to massively regret it if you don't go with the opportunity which manifests itself. It doesn't mean you should do every silly thing which comes your way, but if it's something which really resonates, which touches you, which is corresponds to lots of what you're really looking for, then yeah, Mark Twain's massive. And that's why I think Corona is so important.
So how does that link to Corona?
Corona links in the following way. Mm-hmm. Because when these Mark Twain moments happen, when these choices come your way and you think to yourself, wow, this is the thing that I really will regret doing, will regret not doing if I don't do it. And, you know, often we know we're supposed to do it. It's just we can't do it because we've got this stability factor going on. We've got the kids are in school and you've got your comfort zone and you've got the guy in the shop you see every day and you've got your own friends in the community and all that kind of thing. You've got a million and one different things. You know, one of your daughters is in the middle of orthodontic treatment and your wife loves her gym class and happy wife, happy life. You don't want to mess with that kind of thing. And you think, it's too much. It's just, no. So the lesson of Corona is that don't worry so much about rocking the boat because the boat's already rocking anyway. You know, the week before we heard about Corona, I don't even remember it, but I'm sure it was just as calm seeming as, you know, all the other weeks. At that moment, if you can carry on with the boat example, you know, that boat, which you think is so stable, can actually be on the back of a whale who's just emerged from the sea. You lifted everything up. It seems incredibly calm, but you never know when everything's going to change. So the extraordinary thing for me is that those really good schools, which we were so worried about taking our kids out of for, you know, for a period of time, well, they don't really exist anymore in the physical sense, they've gone online and my wife's gym class has gone online. We can do all that stuff we were missing, or we were so worried about missing, has gone online. Had I been in Israel over this few months and had I known that I'd said no to this Johannesburg option, I would have been incredibly upset because that world, all that stability which I was looking for doesn't exist anymore. So I think Corona provides this very important reminder that the stability which you're craving for whatever reason, and there are good reasons to crave stability, the stability which you're craving might not be there. It can come, it can go. And if there's something which you're really driven to do, just go ahead and do it, because these opportunities don't come that often, and they only come because you've manipulated things, you've engineered things that they happen. So think very carefully before saying no, because stability can be a little bit elusive. That's why I think Corona, for me, has been such a powerful experience. Obviously, incredible amount of pain and agony around the world, which is awful, truly awful. But for me, it's really hammered home that message that if there's something out there that you really feel strongly that you should do, don't focus so much on that stability aspect.
Absolutely.
That's what it's done for me.
I love that. I love that, Zanati.
Resonates with me as well, because, I mean, as I said, I'd gotten a second job before COVID-19, but that got put on hold. So now I'm like, I have more time, and it's, you know, I've been wanting to do this for years. I've actually been wanting to do my postgrad in economics. And now I'm like, well, I have the time.
Yeah.
So why not just do it?
Absolutely right. Rabbi Daniel Bader, thank you.